Good morning. Thank you all so much for being here. And thank you for the great music. Just a blessing every Sunday. We are blessed and grateful. So thank you all so very much for that. It's good to be back with you today and glad you're here. Won't come as a surprise to you to hear me say, I am not a poet. A little deeper than that, I'm not even into poetry. But that's not to say I don't know a little. And some of the little that I know in poetry goes like this. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Now, that's a line in a poem written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She was born in 1806 in England. Later met, fell in love with, and married Robert Browning. They became the poetry power couple. Matter of fact, down in Waco, if you are looking for a day trip on the campus of Baylor University, there's a library. It's called the Armstrong Browning Library. In there, so much of the works of Robert Browning and Elizabeth Barrett Browning can be found, including a whole lot about this, How Do I Love Thee? Let Me Count the Ways. In fact, as a side note, in that building, some of the most beautiful stained glass windows you can find this side of France. Probably worth a day trip. But that theme, How Do I Love Thee, is where we're going to focus this morning. And we're going to do so from a passage that contains, you could say an encounter, but it's a conversation between Jesus and Peter. And found in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. So take your Bible, and let's go there and read that, and then just a little background to it, and then we'll try to ask and answer a question. So if you have your Bible, open it with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. I'm going to start at verse 15. I'll read down through verse 17. And you'll recognize it as we read through it. But here he goes. John 21, verse 15. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs, Jesus told him. A second time, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep, Jesus told him. He asked him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. All right, just a little background before we look at the question. This is a post-resurrection conversation between Jesus and Peter. After the resurrection, this is the third time that Jesus will appear to his followers, to his disciples. On this particular occasion, Peter and some of the other disciples, still grasping with all that had happened, crucifixion, resurrection, minds racing, and I think maybe in a moment, trying to step back from it all for just a minute and kind of get their heads together, Peter says to them, "I think I'm going fishing." Some of the others say, "Let's do it." And so they go out and they go fishing. Well, they're out there, no success, but they hear a voice from the shore calling to them, "Hey, take your net, throw it on the other side of the boat." Now, I'm sure in the boat, there was a great rolling of the eyes. They had had no success, but they did, and they caught so many fish, the nets almost broke. The Bible says they caught 153, well, about all in there. They recognized that the voice of the one calling to them from the shore is Jesus. Peter, in his excitement, just jumps out of the boat, about 100 yards from the shore, swims. The rest of them bring the boat in. There's Jesus cooking breakfast. And then there's this conversation. After breakfast, Jesus and Peter, it looks like they have just a minute together. And three times, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Now, this is post-resurrection. If you'll remember, pre-crucifixion, Peter, kind of, you know, in his confidence, in his personal confidence, in a moment again with an encounter and a conversation with Jesus, stands strong that he'll never kind of disavow from who he is as a believer in and a follower of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Whoa, Peter, hang on. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." That's exactly what happened. I think that probably there is a real correlation between the three denials of Peter and the three questions back from Jesus to Peter, "Do you love me?" Now, a regular preacher would look at this and say, "Well, there are three times that Jesus asked Peter, 'Do you love me?' And there are three different answers, and all three of those answers are different. Let's talk about that." I'm not a regular preacher. You've picked up on that. But I want to go back to the first question, which is different from the other two. Because the first question from Jesus to Peter is, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" So what I have wondered is, these what? Do you love me more than these? The other two times, "Do you love me, Peter?" But here, first off, right off the bat, "Do you love me more than these?" So I'm going to toss out some possibilities. You can decide which is right. But here's the first thought. Do you love me more than these things? So remember, these disciples, they're no different than you and me. They had things, including jobs, trades, hobbies, a lifestyle. And for Peter and some of these other disciples, fishing, you couldn't separate who they were from fishing. It was their job. It was their trade. It was their hobby. It was their lifestyle. In a moment when they need to kind of get away and reflect and get their hearts and minds together, what do? They go fishing. There's these boats. There's these nets. There's this lifestyle. Maybe Jesus is saying to Peter, "Hey, here in crunch time, you decided to go fishing. I'm just wanting to know, do you love me more than all of these things?" They loved their things. We love our things. Maybe fishing is your thing. Fishing is not my thing. As a matter of fact, as an aside, I will declare that I have never had a positive, never had a positive fishing experience. And I will follow that by saying, I never will. Because I'm not going again. I know some of you are thinking, well, that's because you've not been with me. That may be the case. I want to say this so nicely. I'm not going. Don't invite me. I don't want to have to turn you down. I'd like somebody to catch it, clean it, cook it. That's when the invitation comes. Fishing's not my thing, but it may be your. You may have the boats and the rods and the reels and the, maybe that is, maybe golf. Maybe golf is your thing. Man, you've got the memberships and the carts and the clubs and you got it all. By the way, it's hard to call golf exercise when you use that cart. I just want to insert that. I don't know what your things are, but we all have things and we like our things. Back before Christmas, my daughter, and I have learned that this is a thing, has gotten into needlepoint. So, finding myself in another uncomfortable zone, before Christmas, I went into a needlepoint store with her. That stuff's expensive. Mahjong is a thing. I've never played that. Not going to play it. Looks pretty complicated, best I can tell. But around the corner from where we live, there's this store, and they sell all that stuff. And they have game nights. And when they have, man, the parking lot is packed. We like our things. I don't know what your things are. Maybe cars are your thing. You're into cars. I remember, you know, back in the day when I was a real pastor, there was a lady that she and her husband started visiting our church. They hadn't joined yet, but she came one day during the middle of the week to just visit and kind of get to know the pastor. And that was great with me. I loved it. And we talked a while and, you know, I was trying to be a gracious pastor. So I get up and we walk her out the lobby. I walk her out to her car to thank her for coming. And we get to her car and I said, hey, that's a nice car. Now, full disclosure, it was a Ferrari. So, I mean, I was not wrong. And then she said, well, you know, whoever dies with the most toys wins. And I thought, what? But that's the way sometimes our things get a hold of us. We like our things, but they're no different than we are. They liked their things. So maybe the question was to Peter. It's a real question. Do you love me more than you love all your things? I mean, we like our houses, we like our cars, we like our clothes, we like our hobbies, we like our things. So just as a reminder, we don't own anything. If we are a believer in and a follower of Jesus, none of these things are ours. We manage them. We're stewards of them. We're caretakers of them. All these resources we may have, whatever we have, it's a blessing from God, and we have been assigned to be the managers and the stewards of that. Just saying, you and me, we need to be careful with our things. But what if the question was this? Do you love me more than these other disciples? Now think about that. Here is Peter with his closest friends. You go back through the Gospel of John, and Jesus personally calls all 12. And so all 12 of them individually gave up who they were and what they were to follow Jesus. And for 3 years, having given up all of that and now following Jesus, over these 3 years, man, they got close. They were tied. They were a team. They were a family. I would say to you, if the phrase band of brothers ever fit any group, it fit these 12. So maybe they were together here. Maybe Jesus is saying, hey, Peter, do you love me more than you love these other disciples? We love our people. We're going to come at this from a particular perspective, but we love our people. We love our families. We have friends that we care about, and we're a church. I saw a young man last night at a restaurant, and he had on a shirt, and it said, I love my church. Back in the day, I remember we used to have, I love my church Sundays. You kind of had that back on, I think, like March 22nd or March 22nd. It's kind of what that was, that big day when you invited people to come. It was kind of, I love my church Sunday. So let's just talk about the church for a minute. Family of faith, brothers and sisters. And it's easy for us in here to just really unintentionally, subtly develop kind of a closed mindset to those out there. We're in here, we know the songs, we're comfortable, and we tend to get just inward focused. I remember a number of years ago, I was a pastor of a church, and I'd heard a couple of times about some visitors who had less than positive experiences coming to our church. So yeah, it kind of troubles you. And so I came up with an idea. So I'm a guy with a lot of ideas. I used to tell our staff, I have a lot of ideas. Your job is to help me know which ones are not good. So I have a lot of ideas. But I had this one idea, and I did it. I got 100 people from our church, volunteers. You know, they didn't pick anybody out. These were all volunteers, but it was across the age spectrum of the church, so it was kind of cool. And so I divided them up into 10 teams of 10, and we picked a Sunday a couple of weeks down the road, and I said, now here's the assignment. On this particular Sunday, your group of 10, you all go visit another church. It needs to be at least 1 hour from here. You go together, but you don't walk in together. You don't sit together. You go to Sunday school or Bible study or small group, whatever the church calls it. You go to that, and you go to the worship service. Again, you don't walk in. Everybody goes in different doors, different times. And then you all gather back at your car, at the van. And then you come back, and tonight, that night, we're going to get together, and we're going to, how'd that go? Conversation. So I sent 10 teams out, 100 people out. We got back that night. We gathered. How did it go? 2 had a positive church visiting experience. 98 people had a negative experience visiting another church. Because we tend to get really comfortable with us. I'm simply saying, let's be careful that we don't become so comfortable our welcome mat gets dusty. Those folks out there, they need the Jesus we have in here. So we like our people, whether it's our family, whether it's our friends, whether it's our church family. Let's just be careful that we don't let anyone take a place in our heart that's a place of greater priority than the Jesus who died for us. So, the question, do you love me more than these what? These things? Do you love me more than these other disciples with whom you are so close and connected? What if the question is, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? So, this is not a contest. It's not a competition of who loves Jesus more. But maybe that question does give you and me a little room to do some personal evaluation. Maybe it gives us some space for a little personal commitment inventory. Peter had been kind of the leader of the disciples, the outspoken one, the brash one, the question-answering one. But boy, he stumbled. Now, these other disciples, I'm sure they struggled, but his stumbling was known, public. So maybe the question is, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Hidden in there is the idea that there's a lot that I'm about to ask of all of you. And I need it all. You know the little rule that's out there? Every volunteer organization kind of operates with this same rule. It's been this way for a long time. But the rule basically is 20% of the members, whatever that is, whatever the organization is, whatever the volunteer organization is, the general rule is 20% of the members, 20% of the people do 80% of the work, provide 80% of the resources. And then 80% provide 20. That's kind of the, people have studied that in volunteer organizations all over the country, all over the world, and that's kind of where it has rested over a long period of time. That may be okay for a social club. That may be okay for a booster organization. That is not okay for the church. In the church, man, we're in this together, and we've got to be all in. So when I say there's a little space here for some inventory, let's take it. Let's do the evaluation. And this is not a competition. This is not a contest, but this is a call to everybody. Get on board. Everybody do your part. Everybody engage. So when it comes to serving, everybody here's got different talents, abilities, gifts on all kinds of different levels. This is just an encouragement to find a way that you can serve the family of faith with whatever it is God has gifted you, however it is He's enabled you. Find a way and make the personal sacrifice to engage and to serve. It's going to be different for everybody. But the church needs everybody. We don't need 20 doing 80. We need everybody. When it comes to attending, just simple attending. Just an observation I've made over the last few years in church. Here's where attendance has been trending over the last 10 years. We've trended towards church is good. I love it. I like it. And I'll go unless I have another option or until something else comes along. Just be careful that all those things out there and all those people out there calling for our attention don't take the place of our attention. And when it comes to giving, I'm just going to put it out there like this, kind of three levels. In every church, there are people who just, for whatever reason, don't give. My encouragement to you would be, just start. Find a way, find a place to start. Get started. I think you'll see some blessings out of that. So start. And, you know, I'm a tither. I believe in tithing. But if you're not at that place that, you know, giving 10%, you know, that's kind of what we talk about with the tithing. If you're not there, wherever you are, take a step up. Move towards, develop a plan to move towards that. You know, and in a church, in any church I've ever been in, this one too, I have no idea. I have no idea about anybody's financial capacity. I don't know. You don't know mine. You're not going to know. Kathleen doesn't know. Now, all that to say, but there are probably people in this church that God has enormously blessed. You might be able to do something transformational for the church. We'll pray about that. God may not direct you to do that, but he might. So if you're not giving, start. If you are giving, take that up a notch. And if you're gifted in such a way that you could do something, pray about it. That's remarkably transformational for the church. Everybody, do their part. It's not a competition, it's not a contest, but this is a call. Let's all engage with the work of the church. Do you love me more than these? These what? Well, you may have another answer, but the heart of the question really is the next two. Do you love me? Do you love me? Let's count the ways. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for our time, your word. God, we confess that we are pulled by the world, and our hearts and our minds, our devotion, our loyalty, our commitments get divided, and we confess today that we love you because you first loved us. Help us to just show that and demonstrate that in the right ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.